Today is the second Sunday after Easter, also known as Good Shepherd Sunday. The announcements for today. There is a Rosary Crusade that's beginning. It's starting today for the U.S. District. Father Wegner asked that we have this crusade that runs from April 26th till August 15th. And the tallies for April and May can be obtained in the vestibule when you come to visit, to make your visits. But the Rosary Crusade starts today. The intentions for the crusade, list the main ones. Firstly, to ask the Blessed Virgin Mary for relief from the coronavirus pandemic. Secondly, to ask mercy from our Lord for souls affected from this outbreak of the coronavirus, and also to ask for help for medical personnel and those who are supporting it as well. Thirdly, we ask the protection for bishops, priests, sisters, brothers, oblates, third order members, seminarians, faithful who attend our chapels, to protect them from this outbreak of the coronavirus. We also then ask this as an occasion for the increase of faith, hope, and charity also during this time of difficulty. Also, we ask then too that this church be strengthened during this time, and that there is more of a return to tradition, to the faith. And also, lastly, the intention is for a greater love for the liturgy, especially the traditional liturgy of the Mass. So, begin now. Oftentimes, I have seen where people give excuses of why they can't say the rosary every day. They should be saying it every day anyway, but they should even make more of an effort now. They say that they're too busy, too many things to do, too many places to go. Well, right now we're at stay at home, or at least safer at home, whatever you want to call it. So we definitely have time. And definitely the family rosary is certainly something that's possible because you're supposed to be at home. So I encourage you to do so in accordance with what Father Wegner has asked us to do. This coming week also then, for the other announcements, Fathers Robinson and Brigeman will be taking their Day of Recollection on Wednesday the 29th. Please pray for their intentions. For school, the drop-off and pickups are this coming Monday, tomorrow, between 9 and 11. At the upper and lower schools. Notice that for the first Friday and first Saturday, the attendance of Mass is not necessary to fulfill the request for the first Friday and Saturday first Saturday devotions. One may fulfill them by worthy reception of the sacrament of confession and communion, along with the performance of the other devotions that are part of the first Friday and first Saturday devotions. Also, because of the fact that the public masses have been canceled at St. Isidore's, we encourage you to enroll in the parish flock note. And so, anyway, in order to receive updated information, because these requirements do change, and it may be such that it will change in our favor, hopefully it will soon. It's the place to look for the flock note. You sign up is stisidoreflocknote.com, stisidore.flocknote.com. So also we have a little bit of a difficulty with taking up collections because there is an empty church here. So we certainly appreciate your contributions. You can help by either just depositing the contributions at the office mailbox slot in the vestibule, or you can place donations online at St. Isidore's website as well. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul, the first epistle of St. Peter. Dearly beloved, Christ suffered for us, leaving you an example of that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he threatened not, but delivered himself to him that judged him unjustly. who his own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to justice, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but you are now converted to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The Gospel of the Mass today is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. But the hireling and he that is not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and flieth. And the wolf catcheth and scattereth the sheep, and the hireling flieth because he is a hireling, and he hath no care of the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. As the Father knoweth me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, today is also known as Good Shepherd Sunday, primarily because of the Gospel for the Mass today. The Gospel speaks of our Lord, and our Lord says to the Pharisees that he is the Good Shepherd. It's important for us to think a little bit about the occupation of a shepherd and the nature that the shepherd has to have because of the nature of the sheep and the relationship that they have. So these three points we need to consider. Today, with the way the agriculture is so systematized and mechanized, we don't have that same appreciation for this idea of being a shepherd as we perhaps would have had if we lived at the time of our Lord. The shepherd at the time of our Lord was one who was with the sheep day and night, and he spent time with them in order to lead them, to guide them, to protect them, to make sure that they were properly nourished in green pastures, that they were protected from the elements, that they were protected from the enemies that they might have. This was the function of a shepherd. The shepherd just didn't go and work 8 hours a day, go back home, and wait till the following day, leaving the sheep to just be unattended. It was a task that required constant care. It was because of this that our Lord compared himself to a shepherd. He says, "I'm the good shepherd." He says, "I don't just leave them when there's difficulty. I don't just leave them to their own devices, because they will be such that they will perish because of it." The sheep, we talked about the shepherd, but what his characteristics are, but the characteristics of the shepherd are required because of the nature of sheep. Sheep are such that they need to be led. They need to be directed. They are not known to be sly or cunning like the fox. They're rather helpless if they are left to themselves. And our Lord used this in his comparison, his metaphor, when he compared himself to a shepherd and, of course, his flock, which are the faithful, to sheep. It's interesting when we talk about this nature of the good shepherd, the nature of sheep. Oftentimes when we want to make a metaphor or comparison, we will take something that we want to explain and compare it in certain terms of something that we can compare because there is a similarity that's pre-existing. However, at the time of our Lord, actually our Lord is different because our Lord is God. And instead of using something that was at his disposal that he could have access to that would bear a similarity to it, he created sheep with the nature so that he could make that comparison. So it's very different from the way we speak when we are trying to find something to make that comparison. He created that situation so he can make that comparison from the nature of what he actually made. And so the sheep are marked by their docility, docility to listen to their shepherd. It's interesting, the idea of this shepherd is interesting because the sheep have a special ability to discern voices. If there are several flocks joined together, and there are the corresponding shepherds for each of the flocks, each sheep from each flock, the sheep from one flock, will distinguish between one shepherd and another and know the voice of the master and follow the voice of their master. Unique characteristic of sheep. And of course, as I say, the sheep are by themselves left to themselves, they will perish because they do have some natural enemies. The wolf will come and take the sheep. The sheep are vulnerable in this regard, and they need the shepherd in order to defend them. And the shepherd will do everything he can in order to defend them, even such that may even have to give his life for them. This is the nature of the shepherd and the sheep. We have a situation today in the church that is rather difficult because of the many situations where the faith is attacked, not just from without, but from within. And the situation is such that it is dire indeed because there is this crisis of faith. We're trying to pray during this time of this Rosary Crusade for an increase in faith within the church, a return to tradition. But as it is, there is this difficulty. And the sheep, many of them, become lost because there is not the direction that's necessary. Some sheep decide that they're going to just tough it out on their own, which puts them at peril. Sheep without a shepherd are, by their very nature, in a perilous state. There are others that have at least decided to do something to do so, to try to protect themselves from this by going to those who are teaching what has always been taught. St. Vincent of Lorenz said, when there is a crisis, when there's a difficulty, you go back to what was taught in all places and all times. And so they go back to what has been taught in all times. And then when they do that, they find those who are speaking the mind of the church, the mind of the church of 2,000 years, and they listen to that. And because of that, they are safeguarded. It is a particular thing that they need to do, it that it will keep them safe, is to listen to those who uphold tradition. And of course, it has been the role of the Society of St. Pius X to uphold that tradition. When they were founded in 1970, the church itself said that this was going to be an experiment in tradition. They know it. They knew that we were going to remain traditional. And so they said it was an experiment in tradition. And we have kept the traditions of the church. It is important for you to pray for the Society of St. Pius X that they maintain that faith, that they keep the traditions of the church, that they persevere in this, because they are the ones who protect, guide, and lead you. And of course, it's also important not only for you to adhere to those who will defend the traditions of the church, but it's also then important for you to be docile to those directions. Because if we still hold on to our own ideas, and we don't follow the direction that's given in this time of crisis, there's little difference between those who refuse to listen and do their own thing while being such that they externally follow the Society of St. Pius X. They put themselves in peril, like the sheep who have no shepherd and do whatever and put themselves at risk. Listening to this, that, and the other thing, which from the world, which is not necessarily going to help save their souls. And so it is a special grace to be able to have the traditions of the church, to follow the traditions of the church, to be such that you receive the sacraments in the traditional way. It is a safeguard in this time of crisis, of turmoil, of a world that's very unsettled. And so, as I say, we need to pray for the priests, we need to pray for the religious, pray for those who are pursuing vocations, and try to pray for an increase in vocations, so that this crisis, which is a spiritual crisis, which is actually more dangerous than the kind of crisis we have from this pandemic that we're suffering from now, that we pray that there are many souls that will pursue these vocations so as to bring about a solution to this problem that we have in the church today. It is necessary for us to do so. It's required of us. And of course, it's a docility and a generosity that's required on the part of the faithful in order to cooperate with this. It's this relationship, this very special relationship between those who are in the church and giving the guidance of those who are following, that they follow this goal, this mind of the church, which is instituted by our Lord himself and which is formed by him. And it's, of course, a divine institution that is protected by him. And so let us try during this time of Easter to, of course, appreciate the gifts of God, make use of the many graces that are given to us during this time, that are special to this time, that we work to sanctify our souls, that we listen and heed the advice, the spiritual advice given by those who teach the traditions of the church, so that we can use this life here on earth as a means of our sanctification, so that we can be part of that flock and of that fold, which will be led by our Lord himself, through his instruments, the priests and the bishops and the religious, in order to reach that home, which will be give us the safety that we search for, that will be eternal, in which we will be with our Lord, the Good Shepherd, for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.